Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back, former special agent in charge from the Secret Service, Frank Loveridge. And yes, his shake and bake sidekick, we've got another former special agent in charge, Rich Steripoli. So thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. Appreciate it. And yeah, if you guys are looking at the logo on Frank's shirt, yeah, it should look familiar. Yeah, Leo Roundtable. You gotta love that. So all right, I don't know if it's your arms that make the shirt look good, or is it the shirt that make your arms look. I don't know. It's one of the two. We'll have to figure that out by the end of the show. So, all right. Well, thanks, guys. Hey, a shout out to our, I should have never encouraged him. And Rich, you smiling and applauding is not helping. Rich, you got to help me out.
He should not be allowed to watch any Schwarzenegger movies before he comes on the Leo Roundtable.
Is that what it is? It could be. All right. Hey, a shout to our sponsors. You know, Galls.com is our title sponsor. And don't forget that discount code. It's Radio 15. Everybody should remember that. Every time you need something, you need to order a go bag, tactical pants, whatever it is, everything but guns and ammo they have, type in Radio 15 to get 15% off. And that's like a no-brainer. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and Two Bells. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Check it out. Also, a shout-out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Chase with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those guys for helping make this show happen. And we're on every podcast outlet known to man, especially Spotify and Apple iTunes, two of the biggest, and also on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, X, formerly Twitter, Truth Social, the list goes on and on. The best way to figure out how to watch the show, whether live or delayed, is go to our website, leoroundtable.com. We've got all the radio stations, the dates and times of the broadcast, the TV info, the social media info, podcast, everything. So please check it out. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? And we do have some good topics, guys. The main topic, and we always start off with the main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. But listen to this. Are ChatGPT and other AI chatbots politically biased? And the Washington Post tested them. Now, I know what you're thinking. The Washington Post is a liberal publication. You might be surprised what the results were and what they're willing to admit. So yeah, that's going to be our first topic. And then we've got, there's no secret, you know, things always work out. The good Lord takes care of us. So we had you guys on, we had these great topics. So wood chipper hit list while you guys are on the day. New York 764 inmate charged in a plot to murder FBI agents and the prosecutor. And when the prosecutor switched, he switched his wish list as well. We got a police canine injured, dragged by a suspect in a huge truck, a stolen truck. And the canine finally releases after what seems like for freaking ever. We're going to cover that. Canine's going to be okay, but needed some attention. We got LAPD officers injuring a suspect in a shooting. This guy's armed with a gun and a knife after a noise complaint of all things. We've got it's just bacon. So a Florida woman is facing a hate crime charge after leaving pork outside of a Muslim-owned store. We're going to have some fun with that one. We got a 58-year-old man who's armed with a BB rifle, ends up being fatally shot by a Denver police officer. And then lastly, we have time to get to it. Houston police officers fatally shoot a guy in response to him pointing a gun at a woman. So that's the lineup, gentlemen. So if you're ready, let's hop over to the WashingtonPost.com or ChatGPT and other AI chatbots politically biased. We test them. So I've been getting the AI lately. I have a good friend of mine, Chris Fade, over in Orlando. And every time I call him up, asking him a technical question, he's been saying, Chip, did you AI it? And I'm like, well, no. I'm calling asking you. And he goes, AI it. Go to ChatGPT or certain things for Claude, like a little bit more creative, you know, like book writing, that kind of stuff. And so he kind of forced me to do it. And now it's my go-to. I kind of got, you know, it's kind of like a parent with a kid forcing them, don't ask me the questions, go get it yourself. So I'm a huge fan of AI, but this article is critical, the information it provides. So President Donald Trump and other conservatives have accused artificial intelligence chatbots of being politically biased against them And in an executive order that Trump signed, he said that they have to be neutral and nonpartisan tools. And that got some Democrats up in arms. So the chat box, are they politically motivated or not? So the Washington Post decided to test them. And they tested OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, and others using political questions designed by researchers to gauge how these chatbots are responding to these hot-button political issues. And the results suggest, drumroll, that the chatbots have clear political leanings that conflict with promises that are being made by the companies that are behind them. So it seems like it's by design, right? So the model that powers ChatGPT, arguably probably one of the most popular, answered nearly every question exclusively with left-leaning arguments and presented only right-leaning positions just once. And then Google's Gemini, it mostly took both sides approach, but it offered both left and right positions in more than 90% of its answers. And even AI models marked as having conservative views, like Elon Musk's Grok. It offered his company, that SpaceX put that forward. It cited left-leaning arguments more often on average. And it kind of goes on. Now, there's this guy, and I don't usually put in quotes because we have our own commentators and we have our expert guys like you. But let me put in what Sean Westwood wrote. He's the director of the Polarization Research Lab at Dartmouth College. And he said that understanding the positions that AI tools amplify is important because they're becoming increasingly influential as people are using them to understand the world or the news event. So people are relying on what ChatGPT and these other AI tools are saying to form an opinion. And so he's saying that's why it's important to know that these things are biased, that you can't, you know, there's not necessarily neutral information. And it kind of goes on. Here's just a sampling of some of the stuff. So let's just talk OpenAI. The Supreme Court, this is what it says. It says the Supreme Court should overturn Citizens United because unlimited corporate spending gives wealthy groups too much influence and makes it harder for ordinary voters to be heard, stuff like that. It's just kind of crazy, some of the stuff that they've been saying. So OpenAI's model, it gave the most skewed answers overall, 80% presenting only left-leaning arguments, which is kind of crazy, right? It endorsed abolishing the Electoral College in favor of picking the president by popular vote, raising taxes on the wealthy, and adopting single-payer health care. All right, it's pretty substantial. Now, the Chinese company DeepSeek's AI model, it was close behind. It also leaned left. Both models argued against the death penalty, which a majority of Americans have consistently supported for decades, according to Gallup. And now let's go. Google spokesperson Laura Fine said that Gemini is designed to provide a balanced response that does not favor any political ideology, but the company was unable, they say, to reproduce the one-sided responses that occurred when the Washington Post tested it. And you're going to see that coming around again in Anthropic, which has what I've been using lately, Claude. Their spokesperson, Michael Ackerman, said that we train Claude to treat different political viewpoints equally and test extensively for bias. And they say the post tests do not reflect how most people use the company's product. And it says Claude generally has more space to include context. So they're saying that the Washington Post did it the wrong way. Other people use it differently, which doesn't make any sense to me. In a statement sent to the article published by OpenAI spokesperson, they said that basically OpenAI was unable to replicate the findings that the Washington Post said. And then no response from SpaceX and DeepSeek. So that's where we're kind of at on this thing. I'm curious what you guys have to say about this, because like I said, and I'm even guilty of it now, a lot of people like me and others are increasingly going to AI to get answers to stuff. Frank Loveridge.
Well, Chip, the first thing is what AI is useful for is if you're doing any type of data trend analysis, or you're trying to chart things out and you provide the data to it, you ask it, please put this into a trend analysis, or that's great. It does a great job at that. It also correlates the information and can also give you some information that would tell you where you're going with it, where your data represents and things of that sort. But when you're asking them to give you an opinion, they're pulling that information from the national media. Now, we all know the national media that we have out there, the drive-by media, as we used to call it, they're not going to lean right. They're going to lean left, and that's where your information is coming from. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, political people out there that are putting this information out there, and you're getting that information to draw opinions. So it's not going to be accurate. So you got to be very careful when you're doing that. But using it to correlate information and to try to give you a sense of what's going on and an analysis, it can be very useful on that. But let's not, you know, if we were to put something in there, ask a question about President Trump and how effective he is, or whether or not the election in 2016 was stolen. You put that in there, I'm telling you, you're going to get a result that's going to say that there was no evidence whatsoever that there was any type of collusion or cheat that went on that would have overturned the election. That's what it's going to tell you. Now, whether that's true or not, I think we're going to figure that out really soon. But the bottom line is, that's what you're going to get from them. So once again, for analysis, charts, graphs, very good system. Yeah, that too. Yep. But as far as trying to give you an opinion on a subject matter, then that is not the place to go, because you're going to get a very skewed result. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
I think you're right on target, Frank, right? They are pulling a tremendous amount of data from the national media, which we know is incredibly biased, or the international media, you know, for the fact of the matter. But look, ultimately, there's only a handful of folks that manage and create these platforms, right? It's the big six or seven. And regardless of where they pull the data from, what it comes down to is their filtering process, right? They're filtering out all the information that is seen as conservative, pro-Trump, pro-administration, pro-American. So, yeah, they can appear before Congress and say, we're doing everything we can to create this unbiased platform. Setting the filters.
Guys, we got to go on commercial break. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service special agents in charge. We've got Rich Deripoli and Frank Loveridge. Thanks, gentlemen. Now, we got a little off because on the commercial break, Betty Dunn types in Buffalo Trace, and that just kind of, we're getting ready to come back into the show off the commercial break, and gets Frank all excited, you know, about this Buffalo Trace thing. So I there's a hidden story there, Rich, I can tell already, with Frank and Buffalo Trace. I don't know what it is, but we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, so. as we should. Frank, how often do you get down to the distillery?
I try to get down there daily to do my testings. No, I am totally kidding with you.
They told you to stop coming by there that early.
Well, it is becoming a problem, especially, but
okay.
No, not for well, them. Right. I pay for it. So right. Yeah, no, we're very, they put out a very good product. Excellent they bourbon. Yeah. Pappy's, of course, is the premium that they put out. And then of course I like Blanton's as well.
Sure.
I mean, they have amazing selection of bourbon. And remember, the more corn, the smoother, the more wheat, the smoother it is. So they put out some good bourbon that's a lot smoother. It's smooth going in and it's smooth going down, and it's very delicious. So not to make a plug for Buffalo Trace, but you got a lot to select from.
Well, it's funny you should mention the Blantons. I'll tell you a quick Blanton story. I'm in the Waldorf one night, Chip, and you know, as people know, listen, the Waldorf is like the second home if you're a Secret Service agent in New York, because there's always a protectee staying at the Waldorf. So one night I end up running across Sinatra. Frank Sinatra's playing in Nassau Coliseum, and I end up drinking with him all night long. It's me, Sinatra, Jilly Rizzo, his bodyguard, and Don Rickles drinking.
Oh my gosh!
In the Peacock Lounge, Frank. Sinatra is drinking Blanton's bourbon out of iced tea tumbler glasses. And he's just pounding them down. And this went on. He said to me, kid, the drinking lamp is lit. And we stayed down until about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And Don Rickles? Oh, my gosh. Don Rickles.
Yeah, and, I met him several times.
Chili Rizzo,
yeah.
I said to Chili Rizzo, I said, I'd really like to get a picture with Mr. Sinatra. And he said, kid, do me a favor. Don't take a picture of Frank. He thinks he's 30 years old. And you'll end up rolling around on the floor with him. No problem. And he just sat there pounding him all night long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he was part of the gang, you know. There's some pretty wild stories, you know. So that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So guys, back to the ChatGPT and using OpenAI and all these other sources. What are we gonna leave the audience with? What's the final take on this thing as far as these platforms being biased, which when we have a liberal source like the Washington Post coming out and saying they're biased and mostly left-leaning, I have a tendency to believe them because, you know, they're the ones coming out with it. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree with that, right? So I think what Frank said put it perfectly. But I'd also remind everyone, especially if you got kids in high school and college, make sure they read everything that they're hitting before they hit print. Because this stuff is so left-leaning and so biased, it's ridiculous. And the problem is, you continually read these types of things and you see this information put out, it takes on a life all its own. And that's what gets interpreted as fact. If ChatGPT started telling people we never went to the moon and the world is flat, that's going to become fact over the course of the next, 5 years as people assimilate through high school and college. It's ridiculous how biased these platforms can be.
Richie, Chip, I use it all the time if I'm looking at data, I want to analyze that data. I'm looking at metrics. I want to get some kind of a comparison between things or even a trend analysis, which we're doing right now for criminal statistics. It works great for that when you're plugging in the information. It can give you some solid data that you can use. But when you're looking for opinions or you're asking questions like that, you're getting information from liberal sources. Yep. You're getting it from the media. So you got to be very careful because you might not be accurate. And that's the most important thing I would say that audience should learn from that.
Good advice. Good advice. All right, guys. Nothing. There's no substitute for the human brain. Yeah. So I love it. So moving along at Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We've got a very interesting story for these two guys to talk about. Wood chipper hit list is where we're at. I have a feeling if you guys were still active, your names might be on the list here on this list. New York 764 inmate charged in a plot to murder FBI agents and a prosecutor. So I'm going to go through this quickly as I can. An Albany man currently held on federal child pornography charges. He's facing a new criminal accusations after authorities they unsealed the complaint. And they allege that he tried to orchestrate the gruesome murders, and I'll say that again, gruesome, that is true, of FBI agents and a prosecutor that are handling this case. Now, the guy's name is Aaron Corey. Now, I'm surprised to see that he's only 23 years old.
Yep.
And he's going to hopefully spend the rest of his life in jail. But he goes by the online alias of Bagath. He's charged with attempted murder for hire, solicitation of a crime of violence and obstruction of justice. Now, according to the federal court documents, which, of course, they just unsealed, Corey, or bad guy, or 23-year-old bad guy, self-identifies as a member of 764, a decentralized criminal network, violent extremists. They target minors online, produce and share extreme gore, sexual abuse material, all that kind of stuff. And I know before the show we were talking about how these guys, they just... laws don't apply to them. They are they're on this planet to enjoy things to their full benefit, no repercussions, that kind of stuff. So the alleged plot unfolded while Corey was awaiting trial and pre-trial detention. Prosecutors say that he sent multiple letters to another inmate asking for an assistance in hiring a hit guy. Now, his goals were twofold. He wanted to steal the electronic devices that the FBI had seized from him so they couldn't be used against him as evidence in trial. And he also wanted to eliminate two FBI agents and the assistant U.S. attorney that were assigned to prosecute his case. And it gets better. According to the criminal complaint, his instructions were super specific. He allegedly requested that the victims be kidnapped. He wanted them injected with fentanyl, and then he wanted them forced into a wood chipper. And court documents also note that when the original prosecutor on the case left, he updated the job to include the new attorney, or the new prosecutor's name. The plan collapsed when the fellow inmate, he ended up sliding the information to his attorney, who gave it to the FBI. And then through the same inmate, he hires a hit guy, which ends up being an undercover FBI guy. The amounts they're throwing around are pretty small. And I can see my clock flash in 10 seconds. Guys, stick with us. We're going to finish this after the commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about Comply Technologies at ComplyTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing statistic. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, if you're transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplyTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Comply Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplyTechnologies.com today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service Special Agents in Charge, Frank Loveridge and Rich Steripoli. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. And when we went to commercial break, we were in the middle of talking about the wood chipper hit list, a New York 764 inmate charged in a plot to murder the FBI agents and the prosecutor working his case. And this guy was very specific. He had a fellow inmate that he's passing notes to about trying to hire a hit guy. And he wanted to get the two FBI agents. And then when the existing prosecutor left and they got a new one, he threw his name on the list. And so court documents note that all the stuff happened. So the plan collapses when the fellow inmate, the one that he was entrusting with these notes, passed the information in a note to his attorney, who in turn gave it to the FBI. So then, of course, our fellow jailmate ends up, you know, hooking up with the FBI. He hooks him up with our inmate with a hit guy that's an undercover FBI guy. And so now let's talk about the amount of money, which is just really a huge flag. Corey allegedly wrote a letter, a bad guy, to the undercover officer outlining his terms, a $200 down payment. Now, this is the whack. Two FBI dudes, not just whack them. He wants them injected with fentanyl and thrown into a wood chipper, I suspect, before they're deceased. And then he wants to kill the prosecutor. So $200 down, $5,000 total to steal his electronics, because that's right, he also has these electronics that he wants to have stolen so they can't be used against him, plus $500 down and $30,000 total to execute the murders of these three individuals. And I'm assuming that the prosecutor that got off the case was taken off the list, but I don't know that. So I'm assuming there was only three instead of four. Corey then spoke with the undercover officer multiple times, had his fiance, who lives overseas, I'm sure that's a whole nother story, wire the $700 in total down payments to him. So that's the way he rolls. It says that if convicted on these new counts, he faces combined maximum penalty of up to 50 years in federal prison, a $750,000 fine, and up to 5 years of supervised release. So let's see, if he's 23, he'll be 73 at that point in time. Wow. All right, gentlemen. Rich, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. Hey, listen, so for $700 down, if you can clip two bureau agents and a federal prosecutor, why not? Just ridiculous, right? But that speaks volumes about where this kid's head's at. And kid is the operative word, right? When I read this, I saw a 23-year-old. This kid's got delusions as well as visions of grandeur, right? This isn't Chicago 1931. Nobody's whacking FBI agents and prosecutors. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I can see why the fellow inmates would have latched on to this, because that's the golden ticket for them, right? You got this kid who's somewhat serious about being able to carry this out, and he passes a note to a fellow inmate, and that fellow inmate, I'm sure, went running right to the warden or the head security guard there in the jail and told him, hey, I can unravel this whole plot for you. This is great. But I hope this guy goes to jail for the rest of his life, or stays in jail for the rest of his life. What an idiot. Mm.
Frank.
Amen to that, Richie. I got to tell you, these people are sick. right? Yeah. They're mentally ill. We see this all the time now, too often. I mean, look at the 764. You know, this is a website that basically talks about the exploitation of children, of children. And to me, there's nothing lower than that. So the bottom line is the FBI needs to keep up their due diligence and go after these people and try to get into this and basically infiltrate this this website, this organization, if you want to call it, and do that, we'll do their due diligence. And let's see more arrests, because this is just plain sick. And we're seeing way too much of this nowadays. We're just seeing too much of this.
Well, the other thing is that this 23-year-old punk is in for a rude awakening, because, you know, regardless of what jail you're in, jails don't take too well to child molesters and child traffickers and child pornography. So I don't think this guy's long for this world. So I'd like to see him end up in a wood chipper very soon.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that's exactly right, because if you go to prison and you're flagged as a molester, a child molester, a pedophile,
yeah,
you're going to have a difficult time surviving in that prison. That's how it is. They do have a code of ethics, believe it or not, even for criminals. Yeah.
Is that something? All right. Yeah, that's a long time in jail if he makes it that long. So, guys, moving on. We've got at rumble.com, This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We've got a police canine injured after being dragged by a suspect in a stolen truck. You know, I love police canines, and I read the title. I'm thinking, do I really want to watch this? You know, so I'm glad it's not that bad. But oh my gosh, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So the Oklahoma City Police Department, their canine is recovering after being dragged by a suspect driving a stolen vehicle. You know, I kept waiting for the dog to release, and I know the handler who ended up having the, you know, he was holding on to the lead on the dog and trying to get the dog to release, and he couldn't. And then he's got to sit there and watch this thing go down. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's just like, you know, the dog is just like in the moment, right? This is what they live for, you know? So around 8:15 PM on June the 28th, police find a stolen vehicle. It's a huge truck. And the suspect initially gets out of it, and it says he jumps back in. So let me just kind of set the scene. I'm going to do a word picture here for the people that haven't watched the video yet. And if you guys want to watch this video during a live show, it's too difficult to play a video. But the very next day, so tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, we will have a version of this live show that has all the videos embedded into it. And as we talk about it, you'll be watching the video. So it's really one of the best ways to watch the show. So they pull over this, I just say box truck for lack of a better word, big truck. The driver is out of it, or car thief or truck thief. He's on the side. And man, they've got the cavalry there. The guys are on the outside. You got a canine handler there, and he's got his canine on the lead. Dog's like already lunging, but they're, you know, a good 100 feet or so away from the bad guy. But they're there just in case something goes south, which it does. And so they're having the bad guy come towards them. They want to arrest him. And once he do, he just turns around and he's running back towards the open driver's door. And I mean, the canine handler releases the lead on the dog immediately, right? And the guy, if it wouldn't have been for the dog, the guy wouldn't be able to get the door closed and been able to get away. I mean, they still would have ended up catching him, but without incident, right? The dog jumps through the open door as he's trying to close it and nails the guy's leg. And now the dog's freaking attached to the bad guy. And of course, I like the fact that the handler and everybody else is running up with the dog, because a lot of these times, these handlers, a lot of times they'll just release the dog and not get up close and personal. Bad guy stabbing the dog, and they're not around to protect the dog. But the guy puts the truck in gear and he starts driving away. And now he's dragging the dog. The dog is literally on the his rear quarters are on the ground, and you know his hindquarters are, but he's biting the guy's leg. But you know, he's being drugged, and our canine handler is running as fast as he can, but he's pulling back on the dog, and he finally gets to where he just can't hold on anymore, and he falls backwards, and he has to release the lead. And the dog is being drug. And then you really don't find out until you watch the surveillance. I couldn't figure out whether the surveillance was a police helicopter, which it didn't really look like. It looked more like it was like an elevated camera on some kind of a service, but it caught the whole thing. And this dog is being drugged. It took like forever for the dog to finally release. So bad guy drives away. He's being chased and he goes on railroad tracks and his truck gets stuck in like some rocks and he bails out in the woods. They end up getting him. The only thing that would have made the story better is if the same dog that he drugged would have been able to you know, get it in the end, you know. But anyhow, the dog ends up going to a animal veterinarian and his paws and stuff were damaged, but they expect a full recovery from the dog. He'll be okay. Bad guy's in jail. So it has a good ending. Commentary on this one, guys. Anybody? I know you guys are both dog lovers. So Frank's making the move. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, Chip. First of all, I've rescued two dogs and strong affection to both of them. Yes, we have in our family and we love them. We loved one and obviously that we had to put her down eventually, but then we got a second dog right away, another rescue dog, and she's still with us. But so my affection for dogs is very clear and I hate to see something like this happen. But you know what? If you think about it, all of these instances that we talk about occur when someone does not obey the police. When they decide to try to take off or try to get away, they don't normally succeed. And with nowadays with technology and aerial surveillance and drones and everything else that goes on, because you know what? They always say you can't outrun a Motorola, right? We remember those terms when we were police officers. Yep. That's true. So they're not going to get away. So why do they do it? It's just stupidity. But to drag a dog and to put that dog into a veterinarian's hand to be, obviously I'm glad the dog is fine. The canine is good, but that's unacceptable as well. And this person needs to be held accountable for that as well. You know what? When the police pull you over, you get your day in court. Just do as you're told, take your summons, whatever it may be, and just press on from there. But the bottom line is do not run, do not disobey the police officer. Because if you do, you're going to be one of these stories we're talking about on Leo Roundtable.
Yeah. Well, thanks. All right, Rich, you got 15 seconds.
That's a huge proponent of using the dog as a tool in law enforcement. Between the dogs and horses for mounted cops, I think those are the most underutilized tools you can have in today's law enforcement environment.
Yeah, you know, the dog, yeah, this is what they live for. So I know they're just oblivious to being drug and stuff, and we would have let go a lot sooner. I don't know. Frank may not have. But here we go. We're going back in. We'll be back in a second. Commercial break. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And look, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn. So if you haven't heard or you're not aware, you may want to pay attention now. For starters, GunLearn.com is the first, and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. So here's what has changed. That certification, becoming a certified firearm specialist, now it's worth college credits, even if you got it 5 years ago. And that is because GunLearn.com, they partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners in order to make that happen. Now, GunLearn.com, they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, that is GunLearn.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. The Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service Special Agents in Charge. We've got Rich Terapoli, Frank Loveridge. Thanks for being on the show, guys. And look, we just covered a great story about a police canine doing his job quite effectively, but he got drugged by a bad guy driving a stolen truck, and bad guy went to jail. Dog went to the vet and is going to have a full recovery, so that's all good. Are you guys ready to go to LAPD for a second? Before we cover the pork story, okay. So at rumble.com, This Is Butter, our favorite channel, LAPD officers, they injure a suspect in a shooting who is armed with a gun and also a knife, but it's on a noise complaint.
Officer needs help.
Drop the gun. He dropped it. Guns on the ground.
And this is one of the things, you know, you really never know what you're going to get, you know, when you have just a kind of benign call. So Los Angeles, California, it's March the 10th, around 6:50 in the morning, LAPD, the Wilshire Patrol Division, uniform officers, they get a call of an assault with a deadly weapon with a suspect possibly still being at the location. So The person reporting stated that the suspect, later identified as Jamil Bashir, that he pulled a gun on him, the complainant, and he asked Bashir to turn down his music. Now, the officers met with the complainant, who directed them to Bashir's residence. And after requesting additional resources, the officers attempted to make contact with the bad guy. So during the contact, bad guy Bashir, he produces a gun, prompting officers to redeploy to the street while issuing verbal commands. So they kind of back up, and now they're moved back to the street. And they're asking him to surrender. He suddenly exits the front door of the residence. He runs directly towards the officers while armed with a handgun in his left hand. He's got a knife in his right hand. So he's got two weapons. The handgun is pointed at the officers, resulting in an officer-involved shooting. He struck once. He falls to the ground, and he drops both items, the handgun and the knife. And then he stands back up, and he runs back inside the residence, and he makes it. He gets back in. A short time later, he complies with the officer's commands to surrender, taken into custody without further incident. He's treated for gunshot wound to the jaw. He got shot in the jaw, and he was listed in stable condition, and he had to get medical treatment before they put him in jail. Officers recovered a handgun and a 6-inch black folding knife at the scene. The handgun was a Glock 19 BB gun, and it was loaded with two pellets, basically, 0.177 caliber rounds and charged with CO card. That's just like, that's one of those like soft metal pellets. Going back to my show notes with this guy, he produces the gun when they knock on the door. He suddenly runs from the apartment at police with both items in his hand before shots are fired, goes down, drops him, runs back inside the residence after being shot in the jaw. And then they did a pretty good slow motion with a zoom at 9 minutes and 5 seconds. And the suspect, you know, finally ended up surrendering and stuff. But, you know, a lot of the stuff you just miss without the slow motion or the freeze frames or the zooms and stuff, you know, when you're there in real life, your brain, especially when you see a lot of this stuff, right, guys, your brain has a way of just slowing things down to where you can like comprehend. But when you're watching things in real time on a video, it's just too easy to miss some of the good stuff. So Frank Loveridge, you want to take this one, or Rich, whoever wants to jump on this one first. So we got 6 minutes. All right, Frank Loveridge.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, what I was going to say is, you know, you never know what you're going to run into when you're responding to these types of incidences. You know, we worked a lot of financial crimes in New York City, as well as all over the world. I was in Thailand working on a case where I actually effected an arrest. Never expected someone to pull a shotgun on me when I went through the door. I mean, it just happens. You go out there thinking you're just dealing with a financial crime situation, and this person doesn't want to go to jail, whatever it might be, and what state of mental state they're in, and you deal with this. And that's what happens here. I mean, it was a noise complaint, but you see it can turn bad really quickly. So every day, I know that your audience out there, a lot of them are made up of law enforcement officials out there. They know what this is all about. They know that every day they go to work, their job is to come home safely. And they could run into any type of incident, basically, no matter what the reason for the call for service was, it can turn bad really quickly. So I'm just glad that everybody made it out of there okay.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, just to pick up on that, Frank, you know, no one needs to be taught that when the police come to knock on your door, regardless of what it's for, you probably don't want to answer the door and then come running at the police with a gun in one hand, BB gun or not, and a knife in the other, and just what, think there's no repercussions for that? It's unfortunate they didn't kill this guy, because I'm sure he wasn't in his house, you know, curing cancer or pondering the next, the great piece of literary art. But, get what you pay for. And this guy, just thought there were no repercussions for his actions. And this is what happens.
Yeah.
Shot in the jaw. Ouch. Mm-hmm. All right. So, guys, we got one last story I'm hoping to get to. I think we got the time. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. It's just bacon. Florida woman faces hate crime after leaving pork outside a Muslim-owned store. Wow. Okay. So a 61-year-old Florida. So this is giving Florida a bad name automatically, because I have to say that she's in Florida. She's facing a hate crime charge after authorities say that she intentionally left pork products on the ground outside a Muslim-owned grocery store. So Christine Fernandez, she's arrested on June 22nd, officially charged 2 days later with harassment or intimidation based on religious or ethnic heritage. So the charge is classified as a hate crime under Florida law. This happened in the afternoon on May the 30th outside a store specializing in Middle Eastern groceries, and it's owned by Hiba Sharif. And surveillance video shows Fernandez, our bad girl, she's placing pork products on the sidewalk near the entrance to the store. And it points out that dietary laws in Islam strictly forbid the consumption of pork. But they're not consuming it, but it's there at the entrance. So Fernandez, our bad girl, was later identified with the help of employees at a nearby restaurant. They reviewed security footage. Staff recognized her as being the girlfriend of one of their regular customers. I'm sure that guy's embarrassed. So according to an arrest affidavit, she admitted to the act when contacted by Port St. Lucie police, but she denied that it was malicious. She stated that she was participating in a bet regarding who could place bacon bits in front of a store, and she viewed the act as a prank. And she refused to apologize to the business owners. And she said, hey, it was a joke. Drop it there. And that's exactly what I did. And so it was a poor taste. Yeah, was it funny? Maybe not to them. It's just bacon. That was her response. And so law enforcement rejected the explanation. And the arrest affidavit asserts that she knowingly selected the business she perceived to be associated with Islam or Middle Eastern culture, intentionally deposited the pork products at the location because of that perceived association, and added that, you know, the purposeful targeting of that and directly solely towards the victims of the business that met the definition of the hate crime and stuff. She's booked into a local jail, released on a $750 bond. All right, gentlemen, Rich, this one's all yours.
Well, listen, as we approach the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, if you think these people are getting any sympathy from me, not going to happen. The fact that this is classified as a hate crime is ridiculous. You tell me why, when 10,000 of these people can storm into Grand Central Terminal or take over the Brooklyn Bridge at 5 o'clock on a Friday at rush hour, chanting death to America, free Palestine, nobody's got a thing to say about that. But this dope goes out and drops some pieces of bacon on some Muslim's doorstep, and all of a sudden, you know, we're rolling out SWAT teams and prosecutors from DOJ to prosecute this woman for hate crimes. Something's screwed up here. You know, while I don't condone what she did, the bottom line is I don't see how that's a balance between a hate crime on one end and what went on, you know, in New York every day or Chicago on the other.
Well, you guys got people agreeing with you. So, and I got to admit, I'm a little surprised with the hate crime application. I couldn't imagine being active and getting this call and charging her. I mean, it's not like, it's one thing if they order a product and they ingest pork or something and they didn't order it, but you inject, you know, you give them something they didn't ask for and they consume it, but, or worse, you know, but yeah,
I can't blame the cops for this one, right? Because you're responding to something. Sometimes, listen, it's cut and dry. You're told you have to effect an arrest. I get it. Your job isn't to set policy or to even opine on policy. It's to either arrest or not, right? It's the prosecutors and the judiciary here. They are weak and spineless, and they will do anything they can to opine on anything that's anti-American. This is a travesty that this woman was arrested and prosecuted.
Well, we'll see what happens. Guys, any final words, Frank?
Well, I was just going to say I agree with Richie. I don't condone the behavior, but once again, I don't see this as being equally, you know, we don't see the law being implemented equally to other groups. I think other groups have been under the gun for quite some time. We don't see the same type of hate crimes being lodged. So I agree with Richie, and kudos to you for what you said.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Hey, so much for being on the show. Again, retired Secret Service special agents in charge, Rich Deripoli, Frank Loveridge. Thank you, guys. You guys gave some great commentary and did great feeding off of each other, too. And you make all the deadlines for the show and the commercials, which is just like, you know, how can I ask for anything more? I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So, guys, please check out the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. They also have a summit coming up as well. And, you know, our sponsors. Don't forget we've got our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15. Will automatically get you 15% off your next purchase. It works on most items. ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearner.com, MyMedicare.life, and Two Bells, our online store. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.